Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. If that's not a description of our lives, I don't know what is. That we have this Lord who walks with us. He is intimately connected in every detail of our lives. Every fiber of our being is kept in being by his love. Every dumb little detail of my life that I say is insignificant to him matters. He's with me through it all, and yet my eyes are prevented from recognizing him. If only I saw how involved he is, how much he cares, how he's there, especially in those moments when I feel most abandoned or most unworthy of his presence with me, maybe after I've fallen into a sin. If only I knew, if only my eyes were open to be able to recognize him. That's the prayer of the church today. Today, throughout the entire church, we pray to the Lord to open our eyes, to help us to recognize him with us right now, just as truly, just as profoundly, just as mysteriously as he was with the two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus. You see, something beautiful occurs in this passage. There are two disciples. One of them is named, the other is not. And there are many biblical scholars who actually think that this was Cleopas and his wife. That this was a married couple. That they were walking downcast to Emmaus, thinking, all of our hopes have been dashed. We expected something marvelous, something spectacular, something new, redemption, meaning in our lives, purpose, all of these things that Jesus had sparked in us, and now, with him gone, we don't know what to do. And yet Jesus walked among them. Now, why is it significant that this might be a married couple? Well, because when was the last time that we saw God walking with a married couple? Last time God walked with a man and a woman was in the garden. And we see here that in the resurrection, Christ truly makes all things new. That this is the God who at the very beginning walked with man and woman in peace. When man and woman created war between themselves and God, when in their sin and in their rebellion they created a chasm between the two, it seemed all was lost. And so God entered into that chasm, that great chasm of death, of suffering, becoming the consequences of sin for us, being hung on a tree, which was the sign of one who is cursed. He took the curse onto himself so he could create a new reality for us, so that he can make all things new. And so here we see the beginning of the new creation. Here we see him having pushed the reset button, having said, I took the punishment onto myself so that you could be made new. And he walks with them. And gradually he restores their sight. He begins by listening. He listens to what they have to say about what they've experienced. And then he speaks. And he slowly reveals himself to them through the scriptures. He says, you think your hopes are dashed? Let's return to those hopes. Let's see where in these scriptures it shows that God still got you. That you have no reason to despair right now, but rather to hope all the more. And he preps them for that moment of most intimate encounter, when at the breaking of the bread, they're able to recognize him there present. Right now is our opportunity to be recreated. We have a strange period in the world's history, a strange period in our own lives. For some of us, the rhythm of life might not have been changed that much. We're essential workers. We're still doing the 9-to-5. You know, it's just like we can't go grab a beer or something like that. For others, our entire world's upside down. But for everybody, there's this sense of something strange is happening. Everything's not as it normally is. And this time where everything's been shook up a little bit is our time to see, okay, when it settles, how do I want it to settle? When I return to normal, what are some of those things in my previous normal that I want to return to? And what are those things that are not worth returning to? Right now, it's our opportunity for a reset button. To say, what are the habits in my life that I want to change? How am I not recognizing God walking alongside me in my life? In what various aspects of my life is He there and I just cannot see Him? I cannot feel Him. I cannot hear Him. I just don't acknowledge that He's there. And how in this time can I learn to recognize Him? How can my eyes no longer be veiled and instead I can recognize Him there with me? Yes, sometimes we'll have to say, oh, how foolish you are. But then, as a good teacher, he'll say, like, but don't worry, I'm gonna teach you something here. I'm gonna show you how to recognize me. Because ultimately, that's the key to your joy. A kind of joy that no situation, no circumstance can take away from you, because you recognize that the God of the universe is walking alongside you. That your heart is burning within you as He speaks hope into your heart. As He says, not all is lost. I know that you're scared. I know that there's a lot going on, but I'm with you. And I already conquered the most terrifying thing, death. So there's hope. How can we replicate this? Or better yet, how can we participate in this same experience that Cleopas and the other disciple had? Well, we encounter Jesus in His Word. Right? Very often we talk about, like, oh, well, yeah, so the Bible, it's pretty, it's a good book. It's the best book. Yeah, I love that book. That's a great book. But then we never read it, right? We talk about how, oh, it's great, you should have respect for the Bible, but the way that lived out our respect for it is like, I respect it too much to read it. No, it's got to stay there and kind of pick up dust. No, now, today, right after this Mass, is our time to start a new habit of actually encountering the Lord in His Word. So that's what happened here. It wasn't just that they were able to skip straight to recognizing Jesus in the breaking of the bread. No, first they had to journey with Him and have Him reveal Himself to them in the Word. Right? It said there, then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them what referred to Him in all the Scriptures. They were able to recognize this constant thread running throughout all of the Scriptures of Jesus, that all of it was pointing to Him. That all of this pattern of creation good, right, of God creating something good, that good thing falling, rebelling, God relentlessly pursuing that good thing, that cycle of sin and redemption, and sin and redemption finally came to a climax, reached its peak in Jesus. And that all of the Scriptures were speaking that one beautiful love story of a God who becomes man for love of us, so that we can be brought up to the level of God Himself. But if we don't actually read the Scriptures, we miss the whole story. And we miss the encounter. Because the Scriptures, they speak to us of God, of the story of salvation. And in that, they're a window. They're a window into heavenly realities. But they're also a mirror back to us that reflected in all of these scriptural stories is every beating human heart. In this cycle of sin and redemption, of messing up and being rescued by God and messing up and being rescued by God. Yeah, that's me. I think that's you too. We need to learn how to encounter the Lord daily in the Scriptures. And so my suggestion, my encouragement, start with Luke. That's the gospel that we read from today. Start with Luke. Today, gonna take that Bible off the shelf, you know, dust it off, and start reading. And read the very beginning of Luke. Maybe just one chapter. Or maybe you really like it and you end up going for more. And then once you're done with Luke, go straight into Acts of the Apostles. Because those were both written by St. Luke. And Acts of the Apostles is that wonderful book of Easter time. We're reading through it all throughout Easter. And that's fitting, because it's that period right after the Lord was risen. And everything was made new. And it was the recreation of humanity at that moment. And that's our hope for recreation in our humanity. Right? We need a reset button. We need it desperately. The resurrection was that reset button. Now, how am I changed by it? How do I live with courage, with faith rather than fear? How do I have this wonderful sense of joy in the midst of chaos? Well, I learned that from those early disciples, who, though the world was actually persecuting them at that time, though they were facing certain death, had this remarkable joy because they had encountered the risen Lord. We don't have any actual evidence of what happened later on to these two disciples. But if they went the way of the 12 apostles, they might have been martyred. And yet, even death couldn't take away the great joy of encountering the Lord. And so do we give ourselves that joy every day of encountering Him in His Word, so that when we return to this table, to this sacrificial altar, where the bread that is the body of Christ is broken out of love for us, where we get to receive Him, will we be able to recognize Him? Because have we let our hearts burn within us as He Himself spoke to us in His Word? Friends, it's not enough to just come to Mass. That's what we're realizing right now in this time. That when Mass was taken away, for some of us, that was, well, that's everything. Well, that's, I just... how do I live my faith without it? No, Mass is the peak, but there's got to be a whole mountain of Christian living underneath it. And a lot of that begins with reading Scripture. Now, an objection that some may have is, I don't know, I don't want to misinterpret it, you know, that doesn't go well. Well, first thing, and most important thing, is you always read it as a prayer, as a dialogue with the Lord. I don't read the Gospel according to Luke the same way that I read an article on ESPN, or the same way that I read a Jane Eyre novel. Like, no. I read it in communion with the Spirit who wrote it. The Spirit by which, or by whom it was inspired. I'm praying to Him the whole time, saying, guide me in my reading of this. Speak to me in these words. And He does. He does, sometimes in unexpected ways, sometimes in a very convicting way, where I realize, even though in the passage, He's speaking to the disciples saying, oh, how foolish you are. I see Him looking right at me, and He's saying, Michael, how foolish you are. Why haven't you recognized me? But He says it with this twinkle in His eye that shows me that behind those words is this great love of saying, help me to teach, or allow me to teach you to recognize me. So first thing is that we read Scripture as a prayer. Not just mining for information like we do an article, not just to pass the time like we would for a novel, but to have a conversation with the Lord. Then secondly, if we want to learn more about Scripture, now's the time. We already paid for a subscription for every single one of you to Formed. Formed.org. Heck, I'll even link it to this video afterwards. But there are beautiful, wonderful Bible studies. There are reflections on every Sunday's reading so that you can really dive deeper into them. There are stories of the saints. There are beautiful videos about just the richness of our faith. There's so much there. We don't take advantage. Right now, we might be binging on Netflix. Well, there's another option, right? And so now is our time to dive deeper into the Word of God. I encourage you to start with Luke and move on to Acts of the Apostles and then see where the Spirit leads you from there. But I pray that we can be a society of those whose hearts are burning within us because we encounter the Lord daily in His Word. And those burning hearts will then burn with an ever greater desire to love Him in others. And to encounter Him here on that glorious day when we're able to be together again and recognize Him in the breaking of the bread.